Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Saturday, November 19th. I'm your host, Eric Steven, a rare Saturday edition of Leading Off. The reason was because the non-tender deadline in Major League Baseball was on Friday night. So had to sort of wait until that news came in because there was a big name involved. And so 3 years and 4 days after winning the National League MVP award, Cody Bellinger was non-tendered by the Dodgers, and he's now a free agent. Now, I lost count of how many times I've written about this and or mentioned it on the podcast, but we've talked about this move as being expected, at least in some capacity, for some time. But it's a huge bummer. I mean, just generally, because, I mean, they're getting rid of a guy. Now, he could still return. We'll get into that in a second, but he had just two bad years in a row. Over the last 2 years, Bellinger hit 193, 256, 355. That is a 69 WRC+, which is not very nice over those 2 years. You look at like his walk and strikeout rates, 27% strikeout rate the last 2 years compared to 16.6 the previous 2 years. 7.7 walk rate the last 2 years, 13.8 the 2 years prior. Now, obviously, 2021 just absolutely torpedoed by injuries. First, it was shoulder surgery to repair a dislocated shoulder, and then breaking his tibia in the first week of the season. That wiped out like a third of the year. That year, he also broke his rib colliding with outfield novice Gavin Lux at the time. And then he also strained a hamstring while trying to avoid getting hit by a pitch. Cody Bellinger absolutely was cursed in 2021. 2022, though, was relatively healthy. He played in 144 games, batted 550 times. He just couldn't really hit. He was well below average, still providing really good defense in center field. But yeah, just on a total level, like it just wasn't there. Now, just in the simplest terms, Bellinger was non-tendered because he became too expensive through the salary arbitration process. And part of this is like by circumstance, because the general rule of baseball is players are vastly underpaid before reaching free agency. And they, you know, over most of the history of free agency, they sort of make that up on the back end. But like one of the sort of ways how the majors have like trended toward ruthless efficiency the last like decade or so, a lot of the back end paydays are disappearing or have disappeared, and it's very hard to get made whole after the very cheap younger part of a career. But in Bellinger's case specifically, the circumstances were sort of a jackpot situation. So he was a super two heading into 2020, meaning for all the players with at least 2 years of service time, but not yet 3 years, he was in the top 22% in service time of that group. He basically played about 3 weeks shy of three full seasons from 2017 to 2019. So that means he gets 4 years of salary arbitration instead of three. But heading into his first arbitration year, he had just won MVP, 47 home runs, just massive season. So he, in his first year of ARB, he got $11.5 million, which was a record for someone who was a first-time arbitration-eligible player. And then that sort of set the tone for his last three ARB years. So he made $17 million in 2022, and he was in line to make somewhere near like $18 million. That was the MLB trade rumors sort of projection, and you know, I've seen it like elsewhere. Others have mentioned around that number. The CBA allows for a maximum of 20% pay cut for players who are under reserve. That generally means everyone with less than 6 years service time. You know, pre-free agency folks, arbitration people, also the 0-3 folks. who are get much less. But so at a minimum, the Dodgers would have had to pay Bellinger at least $13.6 million in 2023 had they, tendered him a contract, because you can't cut him more than 20%. But in reality, going through the arbitration process, nobody really gets a pay cut at all. And therein lies the rub with him. Like, he was going to get somewhere around $18 million. Like, he had a terrible, like, obviously injury-plagued season in 2021, but he went from $16.1 million to $17 million still. So he was getting a raise had he gone through the process. But and the bottom line is no one's they couldn't trade him, because the team trading for Bellinger would, they would have had the same choice of tendering him a contract and then committing to somewhere near $18 million for him, and no one was really going to pay him that. So Bellinger now can still, re-sign with the Dodgers, would be at a lower rate, obviously. He's a free agent, but they'll have to compete with every other team for his services now. Andrew, for what it's worth, Andrew Friedman did not rule that out on in a Zoom call on Friday night, but I think he also said it's probably a better question for Bellinger and his team, which includes Scott Boras as his agent. So I think it's unlikely. I believe this move essentially cut the cord for good with Bellinger, although, I could be surprised, but I think he's probably just going to find a home elsewhere, try to sort of make good in 2023 on a one-year deal, and then sort of parlay that into a bigger contract in what would have been his normal free agency offseason anyway. But he's going to have to sort of prove it on the field, and I think he's going to try to go to the best place for him to do that. So, maybe that's in LA, who knows? But I would say it is a bummer, like, just to sort of lose Bellinger. He's done so much. Even with the last 2 years being bad, his 6 years with the Dodgers I would count as an overwhelming success. He won Rookie of the Year unanimously in 2017 while setting the home run record for rookies. He won MVP in 2019. He hit 47 home runs, played excellent center field. He's one of only six LA Dodgers to win MVP, and one of only four position players. Maury Wills, Steve Garvey, Kurt Gibson were the others. Sandy Koufax and Clayton Kershaw are the pitchers, Dodgers pitchers who've won MVP, LA Dodgers, that is. Bellinger was the NLCS MVP in 2018. He literally won a pennant with his seventh inning home run against the Braves in Game 7 of the 2020 NLCS. And if you forgot, here's Joe Davis making that call.
Eighth pitch has been the magic one tonight. This time he hits the ball.
That's probably, I would imagine, Bellinger's best moment as a Dodger. Like, he literally won a pennant for the Dodgers with that home run. But the irony here is the celebration for that was a leaping forearm bash with Kike Hernandez. And that's what Bellinger dislocated his shoulder on. Now, he had had some issues with the shoulder in previous years. There's a few times when he was playing first base where shoulder popped out and popped back in. It kind of, the same thing happened here, but there was enough damage to where he needed surgery, and that just sort of greased the skids for two terrible years after that. So, but even after, in his like nightmare 2021 season, Bellinger still had the game-winning RBI single in the ninth inning in Game 5 of the NLDS to eliminate the Giants in San Francisco. Bellinger had the home run in what was it, Game 3 of the NLDS, when the Dodgers were like dead in the water, and he sort of he hit the home run that turned that game around and kept them in the series, at least briefly. I think, even with the last 2 years, Bellinger was a very good, sometimes excellent Dodger who should be fondly remembered as such. The last 2 years be damned. But we'll talk about some other Dodgers news, which was also plentiful over the last 2 days, after the break.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Letting Bellinger go was not the only Dodgers move on Friday. They also non-tendered Edwin Rios and Luke Williams. Now, Rios on the surface seems like kind of a surprise, just given how relatively well he's done over the course of his 4 years with the Dodgers. You might be saying, who is Luke Williams? I will get to that in a moment. Rios hit 20 home runs in only 291 plate appearances with the Dodgers over those 4 years. But his last 4 years were injury-plagued. He had shoulder surgery in May of 2021, basically wiped out roughly 5 months of his season. He had a hamstring tear this year that knocked him out for 2.5 months. Rios, when he was sent down, or when he was on the injured, went on the injured list on, I think it was June 3rd, he was second on the team with home runs at that point, and he was not called up once his rehab ended in August. He ended up finishing up the year in AAA, so that was kind of a blow. Andrew Friedman in a Zoom call on Friday night, he said Rios fell down the depth chart among the left-handed batters. Now, obviously, Freddie Freeman at first, Max Muncy third, although, you know, obviously he moves around a little bit. They play Rios's two main positions, and Rios is sort of limited defensively to that at best. And like 19 of his 20 starts with the Dodgers this year came at DH. The Dodgers also have lefty bats, James Outman in the outfield, and then Michael Bush, who they added to the 40-man this week. Luke Williams, the aforementioned, was notable only in that the Dodgers just claimed him off waivers from the Marlins 10 days ago. And Williams wasn't even arbitration eligible yet. He still had options, but he also hasn't hit much in the majors in his parts of two seasons. So that's kind of where they're at. The Dodgers have 35 players on the 40-man roster, which at the moment does not yet include Clayton Kershaw. His one-year deal has not yet been finalized and announced. We talked about this earlier this week, but there was an interview with Walker Buehler with Russell Dorsey of Stadium and Bally Sports, where it was sort of a wide-ranging interview about his rehab and stuff. But he mentioned FaceTiming Kershaw when news of his deal broke. Austin Barnes was on Sportsnet LA earlier this week talking about Clayton Kershaw's return. So I don't think it's any snag or anything. I think it's just a matter of when they're going to announce that deal. But they're not, like, up against the 40-man roster, so I don't think it's necessarily shenanigans at this point. We'll get the Kershaw deal eventually, and when it happens, I'm sure we'll have more to talk about. But another roster move on Friday in a unusually busy day, the Dodgers claimed Jake Reed off waivers from the Red Sox. This is the third time in 17 months the Dodgers have acquired Reed. He made his major league debut with them in July 2021. That year, he pitched for the Dodgers and Mets. This year, he pitched for the Mets, Dodgers, and Orioles. Reed has been claimed off waivers 6 times in the last 16 months. It's been quite a ride for him. He ended the 2022 season with Baltimore. Then in October, he was claimed off waivers by the Red Sox. And then when on the day to add players to the 40-man roster for Rule 5 stuff, Boston DFA'd him, and that's how he became available. Back to Bellinger for a second. It's now, I think, abundantly clear that the Dodgers will be in the market for outfield help. This is the current outfielders on the Dodgers 40-man roster are basically Mookie Betts, Chris Taylor, and Trace Thompson. Those are the ones with, like, actual MLB experience, like legitimate MLB experience. Miguel Vargas, whose position is more hitter than anything, he's played in 30 games in left field, all in 2022. That includes 7 games in the majors and 23 in the minors. He has 46 major league innings in left field. James Outman obviously impressed in his 4-game MLB debut. Those are his only 4 games in the majors. He's a legitimate outfielder, though, and can probably play all 3 spots if needed. The Dodgers just added Andy Páez and Johnny DeLuca to their 40-man roster. They're outfielders, but they also ended their 2022 seasons in Double A. So Gavin Lux has made 40 starts in the outfield with the Dodgers, but they also need him desperately, I would say, to fill out the infield. So I don't think he's much of an outfield option. Andrew Friedman on the aforementioned Zoom call Friday said of his outfield, quote, "We'll figure it out." Then he added, "We have a mix of talent and experience we'll look to, but also we've got a long time between now and spring training, and that will be one of our focuses." So, yeah, there's still obviously an entire offseason to sort of address these things, but that's where they're at the moment. The Dodgers' payroll for competitive balance tax purposes, this is with Kershaw roughly estimated. Again, his deal's not finalized. It's roughly at about $183 million right now. Now, the Dodgers have sort of alluded to Stan Kasten in an interview with the LA Times, talked about potentially going under the $233 million threshold as a way to reset the tax. It was a possibility, although didn't say that explicitly. Andrew Friedman said more of the same on Friday, although it wasn't as matter of fact. It was more like they just view the luxury tax as an extra cost, and they factor that in when making decisions. So I think if something came up to where they would, you know, go over the tax, they would, but I guess it depends on what that is. So we'll see if that's an issue or not. But Justin Turner, in an interview over the weekend or earlier this week on AM 570, sort of talking about his situation. He's a free agent because they declined his option. He said he's had discussions with Friedman and Dave Roberts just sort of about, you know, potentially returning, but he also said it might take some time. I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but his quote was like, yeah, they're talking about the, you know, the luxury tax and resetting rates. So it's out there, right? Like that's definitely a possibility. But we'll see. Again, they have pretty much all offseason to sort of address these needs. They still need a starting pitcher. They still need, I think, an outfielder. I would argue they also need a shortstop. I guess if they get a shortstop, they maybe have less of a need for an outfielder. But we'll see. They got to do something, and we'll see what they do. The other news this week, towards the end of the week, the two sort of big awards from baseball writers were announced. Julio Urias finished 3rd in NL Cy Young voting. Sandy Alcantara was the runaway winner. That was not a surprise. He was unanimous. I don't know if that's a surprise, but it was like, okay, that's everyone sort of was on the same page there. He had such a large innings gap, and his ERA was close enough to Urias, and just excellent all year. Max Fried narrowly beat out Urias for 2nd. Then you had MVP voting. Freddie Freeman was 4th. Mookie Betts was 5th. Paul Goldschmidt ended up winning. Trey Turner was 11th. The Dodgers narrowly missed having 3 players in the top 10 in MVP voting for the first time since 1977. My favorite part of the MVP ballot, though, was that Julio Urias finished 14th. He got 1 vote on 30 ballots, and it was 3rd place from Tracy Ringlesby. I love a good outlier. That's always fun. That's it for the podcast this week. I wanted to wait till the end of the week to sort of catch up on all the sort of news as it happens. I knew it was going to come down to Friday, so here we are. Thanks again for listening. We'll have another episode for you coming next week. It was a very fun Dodgers Rewind. I hope you enjoy it. Other than that, we're going to be dark for Thanksgiving week, but we'll be back after that. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a happy Thanksgiving.